So hello and welcome. This is Erica Glessing. You're joining me for 8 minutes of inspiration on the Erica Glessing Show. If you haven't subscribed and put in a nice review, take a moment to do that as soon as you can on iTunes. But today I just would like you to stop everything you're doing because I have a fabulous guest, and I mean, I don't know him that well, but his kindness seems to just be everywhere. So welcome, David DiGiorgio.
Thank you. It is so great to be here with you, Erica.
Wow. I mean, longtime theater producer, creator, unforgettable. You help people get clear on how to do public speaking. And then you're Italian like me. So how much fun can we have?
Right? I know. Let the fun begin.
So what made you want to go into theater producing, and how did that all show up for you?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. People don't usually ask me that. So when I was the kid, you know, there's some people who want to go back to high school and they're like, oh my God, high school was the best time of my life. I was the opposite. I'm like, oh no, you can't pay me enough to go back to high school.
Exactly.
My first 2 years of high school were like horrific. I was bullied. It was a really hard time. I didn't even know if I was going to make it through. And then in grade 11, they announced that they were going to do the musical. And I thought, I want to be in a musical. And I auditioned to be in it. It was Godspell. I'll never forget. I went to a Catholic school, uniform and all. And I got in, but they said, we'd love you in the musical and you'll get to sing, but we actually want you to be the musical director. Could you do that?
Goodness.
And I was like, okay. And so I did, had no idea what I was doing.
Wow.
And a teacher mentored me through. And then, so I'm Canadian. And at that time in Ontario, we had 5 years of high school. Crazy, but true. So my fifth year, we did, so that was the third year. In the fifth year of high school, we did another show and I auditioned. I just wanted to be on stage. And they're like, we have a better idea. We want you to write the musical. And so at 19 years old, I had a published Canadian musical. And I wrote it direct. I had my name on the posters and the t-shirts, and like, it was pretty crazy. And so that just all sort of led to more music directing. And then I became an artistic director of a company, of an arm of a company when I was in university. And then I opened up my own production company and we started doing family entertainment and big spectacle and opening ceremonies for the Winter Festival of Lights in Niagara Falls with big fireworks shows and stuff like that.
Gosh.
So yeah, it's been a great trip. And towards the end of that chapter of my life, we started pitching television shows to some of the major television networks in Canada. And yeah, it was a cool ride. Very inspirational to do it, that's for sure, and creative.
Yeah, before we joined the audience here, Davide, I mean, he's David, but it's Italian, so every once in a while I'll slip in his other pronunciation. And we were chatting about production and producing, and what a fabulous background for helping people speak. I love it. Like, it just couldn't be more perfect.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because, so I now, San Diego is home and there's no shortage of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial events in San Diego. And the
journey
because
there's no big businesses. So everybody just has to be an entrepreneur.
Their own business. Yeah, for real.
Military.
And so, exactly. And so I started going to all these events and I saw these really amazing entrepreneurs, business people get on stage and be terrible. And I was like, oh no, this, if I'm going to be living here, this just can't be. I started to look at what all the speaker trainers out there and the speaker coaches were doing. And what I started to realize is that most of them, the large part of them, they're actually just business people who started speaking and then got success and decided to leverage their success in that. I have been working with performers and presenters and speakers since I was like 16 years old in a professional capacity.
Exactly.
And so there's a really different skill set.
Yeah. And one thing I love about you is one thing that I've never been able to get my arms around with the public speaking teachers is they want you to do like 1 8-minute show 27,000 times.
Yeah.
And honestly, when I walk into a room, I immediately tune into the audience And then I start adjusting from like the moment I walk in the room. I can sort of tell the level. Well, like last week, I presented to 400 eighth graders. Mm-hmm. This was a little different energy than a Rotary Club.
Right. Just a little bit. And, you know, you're really identifying something that I really take a stand for and totally unapologetic about in the speaking industry is that there is no blueprint. Period. Wow. You are the blueprint. And so I invest in you and figure out like what is unique to you so that when you speak, people are moved into action and people are transformed. Wow. Not that they look at you and they see, oh yeah, there was the story at the beginning and they gave me some content in the middle and then there was a call to action at the end. It's just not a sustainable model when you're following someone else's blueprint.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's something you can say if I get up on stage and my throat closes and I turn into a blob?
So fear. Fear is a good one. I mean,
luckily,
fear.
You can tell I don't do that.
You don't have that.
I know I don't. But I just think, you know, a lot of people, when they even hear speaking, their whole throat closes down, their throat chakra closes down, and they go into turtle mode. And so what can we say if someone like has to speak or would love to have a capacity of it, but is stuck?
So the bigger fear, so two things. I invite people into the idea that fear is actually opportunity. So if we just change the definition of fear to opportunity, then we can have a conversation with fear. The bigger fear that you should have is, what if you don't get your message out there and you don't change someone's life today and you don't save someone's life or you don't show up for that person who is waiting for just you, the reason that you've been put here on this planet? That's the bigger fear, is that you live your whole life without making that bigger impact. And the only way you can make that impact is by getting visible and speaking and actually doing it. And even if you're talking in front of 10,000 people, you have to understand that you're actually talking to one person at a time, because only one person at a time is receiving you. So you just change the conversation in your head with fear and you say, what if I fly instead of what if I fail? And what if I impact that one person today that I saved their life, that I changed their life in such an impactful way? Wow. That's what you should be really up to. You know, fear only comes up when your vision of your life isn't big enough. Wow. So I invite you to just like expand your vision of what is possible for you, how you can impact the world through just a few simple words. That's powerful and exciting.
Oh, I'm just going to cry. Another 8-minute inspirational interview on the Erica Glessing Show. I am so blessed to have such beautiful guests. If you would please share with us how to reach you and how to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a easy website to go to, www.unforgettabletalks.com.
Woo! Thank you so much, David. I'm so glad you could come.
Ah, thank you, Erica. Such a blessing to have this time with you.